We are in the second week of seven on the 23rd Psalm. Last week we began with just the overview, the Lord is my shepherd, and we talked about just how big and helpful that picture, that image of God was. And we talked particularly about a shepherd being three things, that is a provider, providing for the sheep, and a guide, who leads the flock along paths, and then a protector. And that the protector might have been the one kind of furthest from our experience, but we talked about King David, who grew up as a shepherd, and when he was questioned right before facing Goliath, he said to Saul, "It's just like another lion, you know, or animal that preyed on my father's flocks, and I just as I fought them off to protect the flock, so I will fight Goliath." So we're going to continue to see those themes of shepherd as provider, protector, and guide as we move on through. Today, we're focused on the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2 that says, "I shall not want, and he makes me lie down in green pastures." Those sound like provision kinds of things, but we're going to see that even there, the shepherd is protecting, and particularly the shepherd is guiding or leading. I'm also keenly aware of this falling in the events of this last week in Charlotte. I chose this particular picture. There are many images we could draw on. You know, at first blush, I thought, wow, what a strange and hard text to try to match to the challenges in our community this week. But as I dug into it, I thought, what could be more appropriate than turning to God who is our shepherd? So when we get towards the end of the sermon, we're going to begin by focusing on what it means individually for us to trust God as our shepherd. But at the end, I want to come back to what that might mean for us as the body of Christ as we respond to the events in our community. So I want to start with verse 1 in Psalm 23 with the first phrase that says, "I shall not want." And if you've been around, oh, I don't know, as long as John Kreutzer, you might know that the word want here doesn't mean so much something I desire, like I want tickets to the Panther game, or I want a new car, or I want a raise, but it refers to lack of something. When the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," it's that I will not lack because the shepherd is there providing for me. Well, it does raise the question right away, does that mean I can have anything I want? Not to confuse the word. But the psalm goes on to spell out for us just what it is that the Lord, the shepherd, provides for his flock. And it is bounded. It has some, you know, it's not just any old thing that your heart desires, but it's a list of things that we need. So if you have the text in front of you, well, it's on the screen as well, a summary. The next few verses lists, literally, for the sheep, here's what the shepherd provides so that they don't lack what they need. There's food, the grass of the pastures. There's water, you know, the quiet waters. There is protection so that the sheep can pasture and have water without fear of attack or threat. And it goes on from there. The curious thing is that while still in the metaphor of shepherd and sheep, part of what is provided is human stuff, right? It starts to talk about the soul and about righteousness. So there's two things I take from this list that expands on what kind of things would I want that the shepherd provides. One is that it's essentials, the things that I have to have, food, air, water, protection, shelter, but that it's not just limited to physical, material, earthly needs. Even in the sheep shepherd metaphor, it's talking about spiritual things, greater things, eternal things. The shepherd provides for my soul, leads me in paths of righteousness. So at the very least, when I say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it's not just saying, well, there'll always be a loaf of bread on the table, the bills will always be paid. We know that actually is not the case. But it is saying that the Lord will take care of our essential spiritual needs, food for our soul, water for our soul, the path that leads us towards God in the right way. And here's the thing. I also don't want to say that this is entirely spiritualized away from daily need. Because what we see as we read through Scripture, as we hear the words of Jesus, as we see Jesus responding to people, is there is a both and. Jesus responds to earthly need, and yet he also speaks to the eternal. So both of these are going on here. So what I'd say is, when we say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it's that God provides for us what we most need to know him, to be at the soul level satisfied. But God is also interested in the things of this life that are necessary to us. And we're going to keep coming back to that. But I want to move on to the second phrase. The shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. You know me, if you know me. I know some of you don't know me. I'm like the first one in class to raise my hand and say, but what about this, right? Well, how come if the sheep have everything that they might lack, if they have the green pastures and the water, how is it, God, that if I'm one of your sheep, I'm hungry today, or I've lost my job, or I am in need, or I'm sick, or I'm under attack? Isn't that the whole point of this, is that you're my shepherd? And every day and every moment is a blissful, fed, satisfied, protected, wonderful thing. And we know that it's not. Right? That's real life. That's my, you know, when I was in confirmation class, my hand would have shot up first. It's like, but what about my uncle who just lost his job? He believes in God. Where's his pasture? So that's the point that we have to wrestle with this text. Knowing, and this is where we're headed, knowing that behind that is a whole community that has cried out this week saying, we don't feel safe. We don't feel provided for. Where is God? So maybe you can see my initial hesitancy in sticking with this text for this morning. But as I dug into it, I was like, it is there. God does speak through this. So here are a couple things that I would reflect on. The psalm does not say, and no shepherd parks his sheep, for lack of a better word, in the same pasture every day, all day long. Shepherds are nomads. Sheep wander, right? They're always on the move. And the shepherd's task is to lead them to the next place and protect them on the way. In other words, it's a journey. And I'm going from here to there. So when I read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he makes me lie down in green pastures, it's this pasture for today. And we're going to eat all the grass, and it's going to start to look like that rocky picture that Mr. Kreutzer put up, and then the shepherd's going to lead us somewhere else. So it may well be that any given day, for any one of us, we're in the middle of the journey, and the path is actually rocky, and there are wolves all around, and we can't see, because we're just the sheep, we can't see where we're going. It reminds me of the great Exodus story, right? God shows up through his servant Moses to deliver his people from slavery, rescue them out of Egypt, miraculously through the Red Sea, to fulfill the promise to Abraham of leading them to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. It's a green pasture, in other words. And what did they do for the next two generations but wander on this journey through the wilderness? And yet, God was with them. God was leading them. Pillar of fire, pillar of smoke, God speaking his words through Moses to his people. That's part of the deal, is that we're on a journey with God. I'll add to that that part of what caused that wandering in the wilderness to last so long was not heeding the words and the leading of the shepherd. So there were consequences to that. And if I am any example of a sheep, I wander off a lot. And I don't heed and pay attention to my shepherd. That I think that's part of the usefulness of this metaphor. I don't personally know what sheep are like. I've never tended a flock of sheep. But from what I hear, they wander off. They get lost. They get tangled. They get stuck. Part of the journey is getting into all those situations. So the job of the shepherd, again, is not only to provide, but to protect, to lead. God's story in Scripture is to lead his people from here to there, right? They started in Eden and were disobedient and kicked out, and God led them and said, I have a plan for you. He covenants with Abram to say, I'm going to give you land and a people and a blessing, and I'm going to lead you to that place. And the people wandered, and God spoke to them, and God led them, and God provided many shepherds through the prophets and the other leaders that God sent, and they kept wandering. God is leading us. And one of the questions I have to ask is, am I listening? Am I following? Am I obeying? Are my eyes fixed on my shepherd? Jesus tells a moving parable about the sheep knowing the shepherd's voice. Am I tuned into that so that I eventually get to where he leads me? And that leads to the last point. If I can just step out of the metaphor entirely for a moment, stop talking about shepherds and sheep. I mentioned this a moment ago. I think we fall short of the intent of this psalm if we translate all of this simply into physical material needs, jobs and food and clothes. Those are important to God. But even more important, ultimately more important to God, is our relationship with him, our spiritual destiny, our souls, our spiritual well-being. When I read this, the shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures, it's that God is leading me on this journey to a place of eternal provision, if I pay attention, if I listen, if I follow, if I'm of his flock. So that leads me to two questions. One is personal for you and for me. This is my question. Am I listening to my shepherd's voice? Or have I wandered or turned away from God's will for me? God is faithful. God is constant. God is consistent. God is persistent. And God has spoken. And God has shown up. But Jesus ever says, come, follow me. Go with me where I lead you. Am I listening? Are you listening to my shepherd's voice? So that if my hand shoots up and I says, but God, what about the situation that I'm in? One of my first questions needs to be, well, am I listening? Am I listening? The second question, and I'll do this inclusively, are we on the journey and maybe not yet to where God would have us be? And there's multiple journeys and cycles in the life of a Christian and in the life of the church. And so the question is, where are we? And that's the question I first asked it of myself as I wrestle with, well, where am I not experiencing the rest and the plenty and the green grass and the water and all? But as the events of this week unfolded, my heart responded to that by saying, we as a community, for sure, as a whole culture, we're not yet to where I think God would have us be. As I read through Scripture, and I think about issues of race and culture and division, I see God being incredibly specific and planted in the things of this world. I mean, you start with the kind of the spiritual sounding notion of God coming to Abram and talking about blessing him and his family, but it's for the sake of blessing the nations of the world. When that word eventually gets into Greek, it's ethnos, from which we get ethnicity. God's intent from the beginning is to bless the races, the peoples of the world. And that's from the start in Genesis. As God's laws unfold, God communicates through Moses, startlingly, ahead of their time, provisions for other races, for those who are enslaved, for those who are on the outskirts of society, to make a way to protect them, to offer them rights and offer justice for those who might otherwise have been cast aside. As God gets to the prophets, he speaks through his prophets to matters of inequality and injustice in their society and says, that doesn't reflect my will. If you don't care for the least and the lost and the dispossessed and those in need, you get to Jesus. He does the same. He often reaches out to the most despised in culture, the most shut out, the most disconnected from justice and rights and fair treatment. And you get to the Apostle Paul, who may, as much of anyone, have been the champion of God's message for all the peoples of the world. He even went to a showdown with all the apostles to make that point, that God's good word, the gospel, is for the nations, for the world. And Paul carried that out. All that's rolling around in my head, and I'm watching the news like many of you are, and I'm asking this question. Clearly, we're not there yet where God would have us be, because as I read God's word, it describes all the nations, all the races, all the people being united and together before God in his glory. If we're not there yet, the question is, well, where are we? And what is my role in that? What part am I to play? And I know enough to know that our thoughts are all over the map, where we plug into that. Some folks were probably uptown joining in. Some folks are saying, I don't get it. I don't understand. Isn't it, we all have the same laws and the same rights. Other people are angry. Other people, for multiple reasons, angry. Other people's hearts are broken. What I would say into all of that is simply this, that we're not where God would have us be. And as God's people, we are to be part of where God's moving us in terms of equality and justice and fairness. And if your question is, I just don't understand that people of color are treated differently, come talk to me about that. And I think I can point you in the right direction. I have among a world of things to read and people to talk to. One of the simplest, most convicting ways that has made that point to me is friends who either the couple is of a different race or they've adopted and they've said, I have a fair-skinned child and I have a dark-skinned child. I've raised them the same with the same values and the same family, the same schools, and they are treated radically different everywhere they go. I know there's a world of politics and news and media and our own experience that gets stacked on that, but at root, I believe God is calling us to be part of this journey that he's going on. And it's not just that this is another new mission for the church to take on or a task for this church. I'm compelled to speak about this because this is what God is doing, right? From the beginning, this is what God is doing in the world, is showing up to a people and saying, my heart is for all the nations, all the people of the world, and I want to use you to accomplish what I'm doing. And God's word, from law to prophets to Jesus to Paul, is on that journey. So it's not like, okay, this is the 2017 task for Good Shepherd. Let's all sign up. This is God we worship and follow, and that's where God's headed. And if there's one thing that we have kept saying in this church over and over, it's where God is going, I want to follow. I may not get it, may not understand it, I may even push against the grain, but if it becomes clear to us that this is where God is going, I want to follow. And that, at heart, is what it means to follow a shepherd, to say the Lord is my shepherd, because where he goes, that's where I want to be. That's the path of provision and protection and guidance, is to listen to my shepherd. Let me pray for us. Lord, you are the great shepherd, the good shepherd. You have demonstrated again and again in your word and in history through your law and your prophets and your son and your church that your heart is for all the peoples of this world, the nations of the world. You would be reconciled to them. And you paint for us that glorious picture of where history is headed, that a multitude from every tribe and tongue and nation will be gathered around your throne in heaven, worshiping the Lamb, singing, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and glory and honor and riches. So, Lord, knowing that that is where you're leading us and that we are nowhere close to that, would you give us a vision? Would you open our hearts and compassion to our community, to people around us, to stretch beyond what we know and what we've seen in every direction, that we might follow you, that we might hear your voice clearly, and that we would not turn from it, that we would go after you. Lord, I don't know what all that looks like, but I know I want to follow, and we would be your sheep and your people. Lord, help us, meet us, and lead us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.